Good morning. We are going to put a ribbon in our Bibles at 1 John 4. We'll be in and around 1 John 4 most of the morning, and any other verses that we cover, I will either quote or read to you. So in 1 John 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." The phrase we sort of coined off of this verse, when we know and believe God loves us, we will begin living like those who are loved by God. Personally, I get a fresh thrill every time that I think about this phrase. It's kind of an inventory for me because it makes me ask the question, am I living like one loved by God? And I start to inventory, I start to evaluate the different facets of my life, and invariably, I can always come up with one area, if not many, where I need to tick it up a tad. So the emphasis on the word known, have known, is to become aware or conscious, to learn to know or to come to know, to get a knowledge of, to understand, resolve, to have a certainty. And that leads to the personal willpower to pursue a course of action. You can say to me, "Hey, Connie, God loves you." And I might respond, "That is good news. And I'm glad to know that. Thank you." That knowledge alone will not lead me to act or to live like one who is loved by God. That knowledge has to take root. It has to become grounded into my personal experience. Thus, the word ginosko. It's my responsibility to pursue the understanding of what his love is all about and what that is going to mean for the way I live, for the quality of life that I enjoy. These people believed, they committed their trust in God because he is the one that would aid them in all of their endeavors. They held a deep fidelity or devotion. They entrusted their spiritual well-being to Christ. They became subject to the Word. They sought the knowledge relating to God's love for them and what that meant to their lifestyle. And that's the knowledge. That knowledge, through due process, that here a little, there a little, that consistent thinking through, increasingly became the law of their souls. And that's what governs the life that we live. That's believing the love that God has for us, where we garner information from God's word and we think about it. We turn it this way. We turn it that way. We revolve it in our hearts and our minds until it is actually all that we think about when we hear the word God or when we hear the word love. You can't separate it from who we are. It is the law of our soul. It is the driving passion in our hearts. And that's how we can take the spiritual quality of life up a notch in living like ones whom God loves. It'll require evaluation. We are always in a constant, or should be, in a constant state of, it's not tumultuous, but it's a state of evaluation. Our minds are active about it. Meditation, resolve, devotion, and it all equals out to our trust in the God of love who loved us. We will grow every time, but it will be incrementally, like that oxano growth. It happens from the inside out. In every teaching, Larry provides new thoughts and information, even about our most familiar verses, like 1 John 4:16. And, you know, by the end of the teaching, we may be high as a kite because of what he said and even the way he phrased things. It was so inspiring to us. But it is up to us then to, while we're high, to take that and lock it away. Lock it away in our hearts. Fortify it. Work it. Think of some more things. Think of different ways to say what he said. We aren't just puppets. We are children of the living God. You know, he teaches us with the intent of helping beloved ones to mature. But it does require each individual's participation. Now, you won't get a participation trophy, but you will invest in a few crowns to enjoy throughout all eternity. Your investment is good. And it is the same when we come for deliverance. It requires the individual's participation, if any two agree on the earth, if any two agree. The person ministering is fully participating with all that he or she has within them. And the person being ministered to, they have a responsibility. They must participate. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. And last week, that fearless confidence. It's also a cheerful courage. It's a personal assurance that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Huh, that's a good subject for consideration. How is he? Well, wouldn't you think we need to know? Because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. So, to live like one loved by God, I need to build my resolve about what I should expect to live like in this world. And I'm going to do that by searching out what he is. He is righteous. He is pure. He is light. Sonship rights, righteousness, redemption, sanctification, justification, ministry of reconciliation. That's what I am in this world. And these aspects deserve a thinking through. They deserve a thinking through. And that is just a little bit, that's just a little tinge of what we are in this world, who we are. Now, when we're considering upgrading our quality of living, it's always tempting to consider that there is some benefit to upgrading the material aspects of life. Oh, maybe a job with better income, or maybe a new car so that I could really enjoy those comforts and just feel so good. Or maybe a new place to live. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. Do not be led astray from the path of virtue and become seduced into error. It's a tricky one. Goes on to say, God is not mocked. Don't allow our senseless solutions to disdain the wisdom of God. For whatsoever, the verse goes on, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. Monies, cars, houses, and the like are material, but sowing and reaping is spiritual. The scriptures assure us that we cannot outgive God. The oracles of God decree a life above the ordinary measure for the beloved one. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." We are to give not grudgingly or of necessity, but with a cheerful, thankful heart. And all these precepts are authored by the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. They have been promised by our Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And all this issues from His supreme and unfailing love. His desire above all things is our health and prosperity. The more we know and believe God's love to us, the more we live as children who are fathered and loved by God, for indeed we are. And then we allow God to do His part. These are all aspects of our reality that we should take time to meditate upon. We revolve them around in our heads instead of worrying ourselves sick like the rest of the world does. Proverbs 10:22 tells us that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So it is absolutely possible to increase the physical quality of life with more money, newer transportation, and a different living environment. But does that ensure that we will live like children whom God loves? Not at all. Living like the son or daughter of a gazillionaire, I can assure you, would be very different for me. I can hardly fathom. But isn't there still room for sorrows? Isn't there still room for fears? Actually, some of those people are the most fearful because they have more things to steal. They have more things to lose. So verse 18 goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And that fear is phobos, and fear hath torment, dread. It can even have terror at times. These fears carry with them no enjoyment of love. Now, most of us have seen movies or shows about the rich and the famous, and gosh, you talk about phobias? No, thank you. You know, it really is absolutely heartbreaking many times when you hear a celebrity or a wealthy person on a talk show to just kind of open their heart and share their insecurities and their fears, their phobias. It really is heartbreaking. But this is a phenomenal value of living like one loved by God. There is no fear. There is no phobia in love. I read somewhere recently that there are over 40 million people in the United States of America who suffer from some kind of phobia or anxiety disorder. But living like one who is loved by God, we do not need to be torn apart with anxieties and fears. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it talks about being anxious for nothing. And it literally means don't be drawn in opposite directions, divided into parts, torn to pieces. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Turn to Him. And that's spiritual sowing. turning to God, trusting in Him. That's part of our spiritual sowing. And then here's the reaping. What harvest. And the peace, the quietness, the rest of God, which passes all your ability to understand, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's certainly another great aspect of living like a children, like a child who is loved by God. You know, that's the inventory that we take, trying to show you the kind of things that we want to consider when we look at that 1 John 4:16. Because the peace of God actually exempts us from the rage, the havoc, the phobias and craziness in this world. Yet we are present in this evil world. We still can enjoy the security, safety, health, prosperity. We can have great peace and harmony in our hearts amidst all the evil. So we take time to contemplate. Think about the children of Israel. They were in the middle of a famine. They absolutely had no idea that Joseph was in Egypt and was overseeing the food supply. What a surprise on many levels that one was. Ponder Daniel being sealed into the lion's den. It says he had no manner of hurt because he believed in his God. Not a doubt. God shut the lion's mouth and they did not hurt him. You know, we read those words, but do we take the time to sit and think that through, picture it in our minds happening so that it becomes a law of our soul? Mull over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being hurled into a burning fiery furnace that was turned up 7 times what they usually heated it to. And their message to the king was, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but just in case he doesn't, we want you to know, king, we are not going to bow to this golden idol you've set up. We are not going to worship it. That is resolve. That is trust to the absolute. Well, really, trust to the absolute is Jesus Christ giving himself for you and for me, trusting that God was going to get him up in 3 days and 3 nights. Think that one through. You know, this is one of my favorites. Deliberate on Jesus walking through a crowded street unseen when they wanted to kill him. You know, you think through, that would never be a scenario in my day and time. Are you kidding me? I want to make this verse a law unto my soul. And if I ever need to be hidden from danger, my God is able and he will deliver me. That's the resolve that we want. Many, many other records in the Bible to chew on, but the point is, look for them. Seek them out and then adjust your dials. We all know that new jobs, more money, new cars, new digs do not come with these type of amenities. These are only available in the spiritual abundance of God's love. See, we know these records. Our question is, do we believe in our God? Daniel did. Jesus did. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they did. Do we believe the love God hath toward us? Is there anything too hard for him? With him all things are possible. He shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let the peace of God rule. Let it serve as an umpire in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Look at 1 John 3. Starting, we'll read verse 21 and 22. It says, "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Anytime we read the word commandment, we know that it's a precept. We know that it's a what we should do kind of situation. But we can also think of it as an authoritative prescription. We can think of it as a treatment. It's a remedy God has given them for our good. It's our provision for mental health. That's certainly another blessing for the child who lives like one loved by God, to have mental, to really exercise mental wholeness. Let's look over at 1 John 5, and we'll read verse 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Want to live at this optimum level? Well, then this is the confidence that we hold fast. We want to think it through. All you can ask for that is according to his word. We want to prepare our minds. I think of our clothing. We have the armor of God, in all of our thinking through a better life. even our closet is perfectly prepared for us to go out into the world. Perfectly prepared for us with the armor of God and all of its pieces, not one part of our body. I've sometimes bought a outfit and gotten home and only to realize I didn't think about earrings or a necklace or a scarf. God thought about every part. So when we step out on the street, we are stunning. Starting at verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." So not only is 1 John about God's love for us, it is very much about our demonstration of God's love toward others. So you see, really, this isn't too complicated. It's pretty simple. We just are simply to live in His love, enjoying the sowing and the reaping. And when you read Matthew 22, you read Mark 12, it's the same in John chapters 13 through 15, many passages of the scriptures. The authoritative prescription, the treatment, and the remedy is living within the love of God. God's love defines our borders for thinking, speaking, and acting. The very fact that He sent and gave His only begotten Son for any and everyone who would believe on Him is very sobering when we stop and think about it. Take the time to think about it. It really puts life in a proper perspective. We should wrap our minds around the spiritual truths and realities. Jesus Christ sure went the distance for us. God went the distance for us. And we should go the distance with His love. I would encourage you, The True Justice of a Just God, Larry's book, that you read the epilogue, which is entitled, Let Us Be Constrained by Love. Because there are so many aspects of living within that love, many more than we have time to go into in this teaching. But it's just written so beautifully, pages 79 through 85, 6 pages, it's an easy read, and it just really broadens, it really tenderizes our hearts to consider these things. So we want to guard our heart with all diligence. Now, Philippians 4:8 talks about whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, on and on. I'm just going to read it to you, so just enjoy listening. But this is certainly a health plan. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are truth, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things conform to the heart and will of God, whatsoever things are pure from fault and carnality, innocent and clean, whatsoever things are acceptable, pleasing, and friendly, whatsoever words are worthy to be uttered as good omens versus cursing, if there be any moral goodness or excellence, and if there be any commendation, think on these things by reckoning, computing, calculating, taking into account, weighing, meditating on these things, and the same follow after. You think of that verse, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Well, sometimes there's no righteous to rule. So how do we make that a reality? The righteous can rule. I'm righteous. I'm the ruler of my life. I determine how it's going to go. I determine that I'm going to be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. I determine that I'm going to trust and believe in our God. So even if there is no righteous around us to rule, that righteousness, God's righteousness, can rule in our hearts. We can always rejoice and be cared for. Living like children whom God loves deserves plenty of time and thought. And that's really what I wanted to point out today. May all of our thoughts, words, and deeds abundantly serve our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.